You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Timberwolves.com website, as well as the at Locked On T-Wolves Twitter account. Today, I have a special guest. He does a lot of work for the Silver Screen Roll, the Lakers page dedicated, or the SB Nation page dedicated to Lakers content. Excuse me. He also does work for the Locked On Seattle Seahawks podcast, doing content for the Seahawks football team. Today, we're going to talk about the Lakers part of his coverage. Grant Goldberg, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to talk about one of the premier players on the Lakers for the past couple seasons.
He's one of the ones who's going to get a statue out in front of Staples, right?
Well, I mean, there's already 47 statues outside of Staples Center right now, so I don't know if he meets the criteria quite yet, but he could put one up there with all the money on his contract.
They told him that they weren't giving him a mural in any part of LA, and so he moved to the Timberwolves. Of course, we're talking about Luol Deng, who just got out of the Lakers and now is a Timberwolf. Really making our way, chugging our way towards the Timberwolves here up in Minnesota. What is there to be said about a man who played 13 minutes last season? What did he make? Like, I can't remember the stat. Like, 13 million a minute last year or something like that off the contract he had with the Lakers.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous like that. But I want to revisit when you said got out of the Lakers, like he just got out of prison and he's free.
But I think it's the other way around.
it may be a mutual thing, because you know they got out of partially of that contract, and you know Deng gets all the playing time he wants with Tibbs.
Well, I want to talk about first what the Timberwolves can expect from Luol Deng, and then I want to talk a little bit about having a coach that refuses to play rookies. We'll tackle the Deng part of this first. So really it's more beneficial to go back 2 years as opposed to last year, where he literally only did play 13 minutes of the first game of the season against the Clippers. So I'm going to go back to the 2016-17 season, where he played in 56 games, started 49 of those games. And you're looking at some of the stats for that time 2 years ago, averaged only 7 points per game. We're really in the twilight of his career. It's been since 2006, 2007 that he actually played 82 games. And so, 2010, 2011, since he played 82 games. But still a while, not a ton of rebounds, 6 rebounds per game. He's kind of one of those guys who is probably better suited to play only 10-15 minutes off the bench tops. When he was playing actual consistent night in, night out basketball, what were kind of the strong suits that you saw from Luol Deng in that veteran role of his?
Well, he was strongest at the four, and this goes back to Miami, and then this goes back to a little bit of his time with the Lakers, because for whatever reason, they were insistent about playing him at the three, which really just did not work out for either side. And it was probably an extension of the front office, because they gave him that really big contract, the $72 million deal. And so he was going to play his minutes as long as Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak were in power. But as soon as they were fired and Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka were hired, this was a situation where, all right, well, clearly we didn't give you the contract, and clearly this isn't the direction that we want to take the team in. And so he saw his minutes just disappear, but he didn't really show a whole lot with the Lakers, and I chalk that up to being miscast as a small forward when he's clearly a four right now.
Well, and if you're a Timberwolves fan, I guess there's some encouragement to take from that Tibbs will definitely play him at the four. I don't think there's any kind of misnomers about where he should be as far as his role on this team. I think that he's definitely going to be in that four spot, maybe even play some small ball five. But as far as just over the course of the last few years, the Luka Deng, not a huge role in as far as the last couple of years on teams. As far as his presence on a roster, is there something that he brings to the locker room, some veteran presence that he brings, maybe almost like an assistant coach that the Timberwolves can be hopeful for having around Towns and around Justin Patton?
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest thing from his time with the Lakers was how professional he was. And, you know, he was in practice every day, even though he wasn't playing. He was there for the young guys. And obviously, he's been around the league. He's been in Chicago. He's been in Miami and now Los Angeles. And so, you know, even after Chicago, he was, you know, chalked up as a veteran player who just is savvy, knows how to play the game really well. I think he has a lot to offer to young guys and his experience and just his professionalism.
Well, that's good, at least. I guess if the young guys aren't going to play any minutes, somebody should at least be telling them what it looks like to play minutes, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got to see how it's done first before you do it, right?
For many years, potentially, if Tibbs is in power for a long time. I that kind of brings me to the next topic of conversation. First, I want to take a quick break from some sponsors, but I did want to touch on something that we started talking about already. First, some sponsors. So we are starting talking about Tibbs and kind of the young guys buried on roster. The problem I have with a sign like this and the potential that Joakim Noah could be joining this team as well is namely the minutes. Really, I don't really care if Deng is productive or if he's kind of a vacuum as far as possessions. It's more the minutes that concern me. There's not a lot of minutes to be handed out on this team already with how many minutes guys like Wiggins, Butler, and Towns play. Now you have another veteran guy. You got Anthony Tolliver already signed. Derrick Rose already coming back. And now you have Luol Deng joining the team. There's not a lot of minutes left for these young guys and guys like James Dudley, who came over from the European League over the summer, a guy who shot 51% from three the last 2 years in the European League. Not too shabby at all. You covered a team a couple of years ago who had the same problem as the Timberwolves have now, namely a team that didn't want to give huge minutes to the young guys. So if from your perspective, how do you kind of survive one of these things? Because now you're on a team that is more than willing to play their young guys a ton of minutes and see what they have in their youth. What's kind of the ideal recovery plan as somebody who covers the team and somebody who's a fan of a team that doesn't play their young guys enough minutes?
Well, I know exactly who you're referencing, and the Byron Scott experience was really frustrating to watch as a fan, yeah. Someone who you know did work covering the team. But all right, so if I'm looking at a way to attack, you know, watching a team that doesn't play rookies and young guys a whole lot of minutes, it's just to not take the minutes that they play for granted. And it really just puts them under a microscope and forces a really small sample size when it should be a lot larger. And so it's harder to evaluate. And so with the Lakers already, you know, this is going to sound like super like Lakers, like biased and exceptional, whatever you want to say. But people don't like the Lakers. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. People, you know, have opinions. They like teams. They don't. But it causes them to kind of misjudge players even when they do well. And I think we saw that a lot of the times, even though he was inconsistent with D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson to an extent, Julius Randle, it took time for people to catch on with him. And so that's all due to them playing a lack of minutes and them already being on a bad team. So even when they produce, it's about, you know, them just being a looter and a riot and them being Lakers. So they already, you know, have that going against them. So, yeah, I just think that you really got to pay attention to what they do on the court, the small things, because there's really not a lot of time for them to make a huge impact on the floor.
Well, my primary concern, too, is that a couple key mistakes are magnified early on. Like if Josh Okogie is getting 6 minutes, 5 minutes a game, and he makes an offensive mistake, then I'm worried that it gets judged too quickly. And you're looking at these guys, Josh Okogie, Kita Bates-Jop. These guys have been brought in a lot for their defense and for their willingness to play offense outside. And so if they make an offensive mistake, they, especially Josh Okogie, he's already been told in summer league, hey, we don't want you to worry about the offense. We want you to focus on defense because that's how you're getting minutes. That's a direct quote from coaches. And so if they make an offensive mistake, I want that to get magnified by fans, by people watching the sport, when really not only is he being focused on defense more than anything else, he's only getting a few minutes a game to get into the system and to get into the flow of a game. I don't want those things to be magnified. And like you're saying about guys like Julius Randle, I think Julius Randle is a really great player. And it seemed like he never got a fair shake in L.A., and that was because of the start that he got in his career.
Yeah, and it's especially tough when you have to miss a season from an injury and then come back and play under a coach in Byron Scott who has a really old-school mentality about how he wants to play basketball, how he wants to coach basketball. And so, you know, with Luke Walton, I think the front office was trying to move him so they wouldn't have to pay him in the early parts of the season. So they weren't starting him. They weren't playing a ton of minutes. But he forced their hand. And he got his minutes. He earned his minutes. And then played super, super well. And the thing was, is that I think that Julius Randle was just waiting for a coach like Luke Walton to play him as a small ball five because he's so mobile and he was really not a great defensive player in his first couple of years, but his work that he put in the offseason and, you know, his willingness to switch everywhere just made him the most versatile Laker that the team had last year. So you know, I'm going to be super sad to watch him and Anthony Davis tear it up in New Orleans. But yeah, especially when you got a guy like Josh Okogie, who's maybe a little bit more of a project than an NBA ready to contribute kind of guy, his mistakes are going to be put under a microscope because you're expecting him, a first round draft pick, to contribute already. And so I think a guy like Kita Bates-Diop, where he's a 4-year player at Ohio State, already kind of a veteran, so he might get his minutes. I think he's a little more ready to contribute because his body's a little more NBA ready, and like he has a lot more experience. So I don't know. Maybe he's a little bit more fit to just not look as raw and as green as a guy like Josh Okogie. But yeah, I think that it's always tough for a rookie when he's not playing minutes to get in a rhythm to contribute too.
Exactly, exactly. And as far as depth for the Timberwolves, people could say that last year the four was a little weak as far as depth, but Justin Patton is going to be healthy this year, it looks like, and you have Kita Bates-Diop, who was supposed to play some at the four. All those guys with Taj Gibson, there was plenty of depth that he shouldn't have been signed. And again, this is purely off of minutes. I'm not taking into account any stats, any maybe locker room presence that Lila Deng could have. Purely off of a minute standpoint, he should not have been signed because these rookies, these young guys need more minutes. And I include Justin Patton in that rookie class because he played a whopping, I think, 1:36 last season as far as actual NBA game time. I did want to ask you, you see guys like Doc Rivers last year with all the injuries and trades and such, he was playing a lot of young guys. Now Tibbs has a team full of young talent that should be mined, and he should figure out what these young guys what can actually do for this team and what he has in this young crop of talent. How many years do you think are left in the NBA where we see guys like Byron Scott, we see guys like Tibbs who aren't willing to play young guys significant roles in on their NBA roster? How many years do you think before that's kind of an extinct group of NBA coach?
Well, hopefully not many, but, you know, you never know. I don't think I can quantify it in years, but as long as there's these guys, these GMs or owners or, you know, presidents of basketball operations who have an old school mindset and, you know, they have their mind ingrained on a certain way to win, and that takes a gritty veteran, you know, team. Mm-hmm. It's gonna date as long as, you know, these guys are around. I think that if owners get impatient with them and bring in new guys, like we see, I mean, this is, you know, bringing it to the NFL, but you have a guy like Jeff Fisher with the Rams for all those years going, you know, 4-12, 7-9, 7-9, Joker, and, you know, subpar seasons, they have super long leash, but at a certain point it runs out. And so that, and so he gets fired, and you bring in a guy like Sean McVay, who's completely new age, new way of thinking, you know, just modern day football, and you see what it does to a team. So I think the more that happens in the NBA, the sooner it happens, the better. But it's really hard to say, because in any sport, I think that, you know, there's a lot of guys rooted in that old school, you know, grinded out veteran team kind of way of thinking.
Yeah, well, it seems like if it's going to go extinct, it'll be sometime soon, just with all, not only analytics, but just with so many teams kind of adopting the positionless basketball, or you're either a ball handler, yeah, or you're a stretcher, you're a big. And so there's so many more places for young guys to kind of fit into a roster than there were before, because the lines of where you go on an NBA team are so much more fluid and loose than they were before. And I think, too, that the Lakers and Timberwolves are just a perfect model for why you should play young guys more. You see with the Timberwolves what Tyus Jones does, and how many people became Tyus Jones fans when Jeff T gets injured and Tyus Jones is actually getting enough minutes to make an impact in an NBA game. You see where the Lakers turn on Byron Scott isn't there, and Brandon Ingram is playing more in these games, and Julius Randle is getting more of an impact in these games, and you see how good these guys are, even if maybe the system isn't the best fit, just giving them a chance to actually grow, how good they are. These are perfect examples of why you've got to play some of these guys. And you don't have to sacrifice the season for either. I'm not saying that the Timberwolves should be playing young guys who haven't proven themselves in March when they're fighting for a playoff spot. But November, October, you can be experimenting with your lineup. You can be figuring out where these guys fall into place on your roster without having to sacrifice games or a playoff spot.
Yeah, exactly. Your roster, and you have to know if these guys can contribute or where they fit, and so that's the perfect time to play them. And so when it comes to that March or April part of the year, part of the season where you're, you know, fighting for the playoffs or playoff positioning, you know who can contribute and you know works for your team. So yeah, it'd be a massive oversight not to give these guys a shot at least early in the season to see what they can offer.
All right, so as far as Timberwolves fans, you know what, maybe just keep your head down, keep hoping that you get more minutes from these young guys. And I think the number one lesson or the number one takeaway here is that you gotta not put the minutes, if they aren't getting that many minutes, you gotta not put them under too big of a microscope, I think would be the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, just be glad for any minutes. I'll say that as someone who watched a Byron Scott led team for a few years. So yeah, just be grateful for any minutes, and just appreciate your rookies, and make sure you do your part to talk them up, and you do your part to let everyone know just how good they are or what they're good at and how they can contribute, because they might not be getting that national attention like a guy like Tyus Jones, who, you know, maybe a lot of T-Wolves guys know that he's a really good backup point guard and can contribute to a playoff team. But, you know, on a national scale, they just see, oh, Tyus Jones, backup point guard. Oh, well, what can he do? And so, yeah, it's definitely on the fans, too, to make sure these guys get the recognition they deserve. I know it's the coach's responsibility to play them, but, you know, sometimes they don't always get the recognition.
And sometimes they don't get the minutes that they deserve either, which is something that we're going to have to live with.
Yeah, both can be
something
true
that you live through. Before we head out here, Grant, is there anything you'd like to plug?
If by any chance you want more Lakers coverage in your life, I know it's a long shot as T-Wolves fans, but
hey, you know what? They're going to play the Lakers this year. They're going to play the Lakers this year. Yeah. Be ready for the Lakers.
Know your enemy.
Exactly.
Know your enemy. But Silver Screen and Roll has a super tremendous team of writers, of guys who contribute everywhere. And so they put out a super great amount of content. Including myself, I'm not trying to brag or anything. So yeah, follow Silver Screen Roll on Twitter. It's at LakersSBN. You can follow me on Twitter at Grant Goldberg. It's just my name. For, you know, whatever weird content you want to see, I always take requests too. My DMs are open.
I love it.
And yeah, you can you You can listen to my Locked On podcast. I co-host the Locked On Seahawks podcast. If you're a football fan, if you're a Seahawks fan, we got that going 4 days a week. You can listen to that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You know, anywhere you listen, it should be there. So take advantage of that. And Colton, thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. And I would like to add to during the Vegas Summer League, I actually shared an Airbnb with a bunch of guys from Screen Roll and was hanging out with a bunch of you guys all throughout Summer League. And a great group of guys. Make sure to check out their content. They're producing a lot of great stuff over there on the SB Nation site, as well as Grant's podcast for the Locked On Network. Make sure to check out all that content. There's never too much sports content you can consume, so make sure to consume the best content and go check out the Screen Roll and the Locked On Seahawks podcast. Grant, thanks so much for joining the show, and thank you to everyone for listening to another Locked On Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On